Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. We're three astrologers here. I'm Ann Ortley, sitting here at the Bright Red Desk, and I'm joined tonight by Heather Roan Robbins. Heather, you out there?
Yes, I am. I'm calling in from Ronan, Montana, where it is above freezing, which is rather miraculous for us this time of year.
Yeah. Well, we're cold here, but not above freezing. But I was at a play today, Heather, and we came out of the play. I went to see a great play. It was really good. Mark just popped on, so I'll let him in, too.
Okay.
Really great play. And as we come out, the birds were having trouble flying. They couldn't fly. The wind was blowing so strongly they couldn't fly. They were trying to fly, but the wind kept blowing them down.
Now that's windy.
I was windy. So Mark, I think I turned you on. You there?
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, good. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Good.
Okay.
And this is Mark Woltz calling in from New York City.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the west side where it's windy.
Yeah.
Well, it was really windy. I was on 8th Avenue, and, I mean, those birds couldn't fly. So I was like, wow. But it was good. And then we went out for a tomahawk steak dinner after the play. It was a great play. It was. I've been trying to have Adventure Wednesdays, because they have matinees in New York and stuff. Yeah, and it was Mary Parker. I think I'm drawing a blank on her name. But it was a play by Adam Rapp. He's a really literate playwright, and it was really good.
Mm.
It was a woman who got diagnosed with stomach cancer, and she's a professor at Yale, and it's her student who's in her English writing class. So it's the dialogue between the two of them. It was really well done, really well done.
Wonderful.
Hour and a half, you just kind of sit there mesmerized. You know, there's something about good theater. And it really was a lot more about mortality and what your legacy is. And then we went across the street and had this steak. I have never seen a tomahawk steak before. I mean, it was like, I took a picture of it because it's like this huge bone. You could truly kill somebody with a damn thing. But, yeah, it was good. It was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, cream spinach and mashed potatoes and mushrooms, because if you have a steak dinner, you need all that stuff, too. So I'm feeling very well fed, but there was nothing vegan about it. Huh, Mark?
Is this to celebrate
Sounds
the
wonderful.
Eclipse?
No, this is I'm having this new, I've decided, I live in one of the nicest cities in the world for adventures, and I've decided, I take off Wednesdays, and I used to work because I had an assistant that was full-time, so I kind of felt a little guilty leaving on Wednesdays, and just kind of leaving her alone, and so she left, so now I have part-time people again, and they don't work on Wednesdays, so I'm like, I'm out of here, I'm going to go do stuff on Wednesday.
Wonderful.
So that's my new resolve. So I've been doing plays, I went to see the UN last week, I'm just like, okay, do something adventurous. So
how exciting.
But today it was really good. So, but it also is, was a very Saturn-Pluto meal, where you're kind of looking at your authorities. And we have, as you know, in the world, we're having a big week out there, folks. Lots of excitement. Donald, killing people and blowing up things and then them shooting planes down. And, Heather and I were talking before we got on, about father stories coming up for people, and Ram Dass dying and, the Be Here Now book. I mean, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody saying, read the bibliography of it because it's your... it's your guide to your spiritual path for the next, number of years. So, we're all working out our authority issues, either internal, having struggles with them. Would you say, Heather, it was very profound about...
That whether we are mourning them or having been disappointed in them and having to release them. And what I'd say is either way, what we're asked to do is to release an outside father figure and really develop that inner voice, the best of the Saturn, within at the moment, because we're letting go of the old form that was. Not for everybody, for every father figure, but there's a whole series of them that I have had several clients who've lost a father this week, let alone, thinking about it or kind of working with it in the process. And I've been looking back at the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that happened in 1982 and noticed that was about the beginning of the Iran-Contra affair.
That was when
Reagan first started sharing. That was the last time Saturn-Pluto conjunct, as it will be this weekend, only this time with conjunct Mercury and right on the eclipse. But then it that was when we didn't know it yet, but there was a blockade to selling arms to Iran, and the Reagan administration sold arms to Iran to get money to support the Contras in Guatemala and Nicaragua.
Right.
And it so
CIA.
That began the cycle. Right. That began that cycle. That cycle peaked at the full moon of it between August and October of 2001, right on 9/11, and now comes to close. I mean, it's been such a powerful arrangement. And one of the things that Trump threatened was to bomb the historic sites, and old architecture. I associate very strongly with Saturn. So he threatened death to architecture as well in the midst of this process. And luckily, that seems to have been backed off at the moment. So,
well, the generals came out and said we're not going to bomb cultural sites. That's a war crime, which is unfortunate,
because
when we invaded Iraq, there was the looting of the museum, and Rumsfeld famously said, "Hey, things happen," and it's like, really? But also, 81, 82 was the Iran-Iraq war, and back then, Suleiman was in that war. And they were sending kids as young as 8 and 9 years old to fight in it. Mm. Millions of kids. Mm. Most of Iran, a lot of the country is under 30 because they died in that war. So he came out of that war saying, that kind of inspired his life path as a general of the troops and of organizing and kind of a never. A lot of times the Saturn Pluto has a never again quality too. And it happened in 1914, 15, right around World War One. It happened in 47 after World War Two, and then 82 back in again. And so now here we have it again. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that was trending on social media, World War Three, and it's like, no, people, we don't have to do that. There's a lot of things we can do when we're restructuring our relationship to authority that we don't have to do this. This does not have to be the path. But it's very interesting that this man had that tie to that earlier war, and that was where he was forged as a warrior and kind of a war hero for their country. Even we may not know his name. I mean, I didn't know his name until the other day, but they know him, and the mourning crowds out there and the leader of the country weeping on his casket, it's kind of weird, but it reminded me a little of John McCain dying as a warrior for our country, like that we all, I didn't agree with his politics in any way, shape, or form, but I had enormous respect for him as a man who fought for and believed in his country. And I think, one of the things that Saturn-Pluto asks us to look at is who are our heroes, who are our authorities, and then if we're not the hero of our own life, what are we doing? What is our life's path? What are we here for? What is the point of our existence? So it's a very profound time for people. A lot of suicides, too. There seem to be quite a few of them popping. And, of course, Harry and Meghan earlier today announced they were leaving the royal family officially and going off to get a job and earn a living for financial independence, giving up, some of the money. And going off to live and, follow their own path. And, of course, Harry is – these two are born kind of straddling that Saturn-Pluto conjunction in 82. So God send to Harry and Meghan on their new adventure where they're saying, hey, we're going to kind of break from tradition, Capricorn's tradition, and we're going to do this new path. And then the Queen said, hey, we were in preliminary discussions about this. But they're kind of like, well, Beatrice and Eugenia, they have jobs. We want to go be like them and earn some money because if we're on this particular thing, we can't. And if we want to be a little more like them where we're still part of the family, but we don't have to necessarily not earn living and we want to go do our own thing. So it's Saturn-Pluto is very much about figuring out your course and charting it, So, Mark, what do you see with it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot yet to be seen because we really are going to be changing structures. And it's not clear yet. They're not what isn't working isn't broken down enough yet.
Yes.
But, you know, if you look at what's going on in the White House, things are really falling apart. But
mm-hmm.
it isn't obvious yet. I mean, it is if you're looking. But
mm-hmm.
if you're not looking, it's not mm-hmm. that obvious. And it needs to get worse. But that's what Saturn and Pluto will do.
Mm-hmm.
I always say Saturn and Pluto, it reminds me of the Tower card in the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, the tower has to fall, and then it'll be built in a more appropriate way.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's going on in our government, in a sense, we can say it's not bad enough yet. Even though
mm-hmm.
it's bad enough for me, but
mm-hmm.
apparently not bad enough for Pluto and Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, and it is a beginning of new cycles. You know, it's interesting that both now and in 1982, last time it conjunct, the stock market was really strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there, you know, it's because it's, you know, it does support old money and it has power in the old places. But what we can start, I mean, everybody has a chance this weekend to really think about what their cycle was for the last 38 years and what they would choose to bring to an end and what they'd like to birth. Because what we do this week, what we do this month, seeds our next 38-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're... Last time, our government was secretly selling arms to Iran. What, you know, we see what a mess it's in the midst of at the moment. What can we do ourselves with our own willpower to step in a good direction? Setting up good habits, like taking Wednesdays off, is a good start. Looking
mm-hmm.
at other, you know, ways that we want to change our discipline, transform our personal disciplines, so that it really works for us as an important part of what we can do on this eclipse.
Right, right. Well, and I think part of the other structure of it is that there's this very small section of the sky that's really hot all year long, and it's the
mm-hmm.
section of 22
mm-hmm.
to zero Aquarius. So
yep.
we're going to have the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, then we have three Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions at 24, 24, and then at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Saturn
mm-hmm.
going over this part three times. So he's taking us
mm-hmm.
back to 90, 91. And the Jupiter-Pluto take us back to December of 2007 when the housing market crisis started and Bernie
mm-hmm.
Madoff ran off with the money. So there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of energy with these three cycles in your life, and of course, if you weren't born in 82, we do have some younger listeners, ask your parents what they were doing because
mm-hmm.
they're setting it up. So in the case of one of my assistants, you know, her dad decided to get married because he wanted to have a baby, her and her brother, and so he kind of left his acting career and, you know, got married and went into the banking business, and now he's, you know, kids don't want the business, now he's selling the business, and he's retiring, and my assistant got married, and she's looking to have babies. So, you know, it's kind of a new cycle, but the old cycle is related. So ask your folks if you, and if you're really old, you know, and you, what was going on in 47? I have some clients who are older, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's like three times. And, of course, 47 was, the, you know, 48 was when Israel was formed. So that section of the world promises to be a little hot this year. And because it was formed in March of 48. But what happens with these big cycles is they kind of take a little while to get the traction going. And so, you know, you're planting seeds and kind of starting new stuff with the idea being in about 9 years from now, you'll have the opening crisis of it. So in the case of the World Trade Center, 94 was when we had the first bombing there, and then in 2001 we had the next one, and then they averted a bombing there, you know, in whatever the next 7 years out was. So it, you know, so these are bigger cycles that pay attention, or we pay attention to, and then they opened the new building there also. They averted a bombing
mm-hmm.
in Times Square, but they opened the new building downtown. So. These are bigger cycles in our lives, and so if you kind of think back to those and kind of correlate that they're all coming together,
mm-hmm.
and that can help a little. And, you know, and some people go, oh, my God, those were really hard times. And it doesn't mean it's going to be hard. It just means back then there were three very distinct cycles that now are kind of coalescing. And if we think of our chart as a purpose, its purpose is to give us a vision of our life, and it's our natal potential ripening, it's saying, hey, you know, you had that experience in 82, you had that experience in 90, 91, you had that experience in 2007, and now we're going to put them all together. Isn't that exciting? Because you had all these three separate stories, and kind of like at the end of the story, they tie it together. So I went to see Knives Out, which is a whodunit movie with Daniel Craig. And, you know, at the end of the point, they tied it all together with, they went through the little scenes. Well, and then you did this, and then you did that. And then, you know, and it was kind of like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, this is what the cosmos are doing, is they're tying it all together for us to look at and to say, what are we, you know, what's our bigger vision for our life, on the collective level, certainly, but what's our bigger vision on our own life, where we have some ability to impact the stories that are taking place or how they're unfolding. So it's big and exciting,
big.
And a little scary. Some people
yep.
are really reporting feeling scared and anxiety, and that's totally
mm-hmm.
good. That's
and
part
very
of the deal.
Reasonable.
And very reasonable. It is big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's big, mm-hmm. you know. So Mark's really good with anxiety stuff. So what do you do, Mark, when you have a client with anxiety?
Breathe.
mm-hmm.
No, really.
Give them breathing techniques, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else?
There are a lot of ways. But, you know, just pursing your lips so you have a small opening between the lips and breathing out for a long time. So you breathe
very
in.
Very slow.
Breathing out.
In, but
longer than breathing in.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that to, you know, I think it would, Saturn asks us to use our discipline, and that we can, it's important for us to be aware of everything that we're worried about and anxious about, and also bring our mind and exercise the other side. So what's working right now? Where do we have a sense of security? You know, what can we imagine? What new cycles can we imagine that are good? And vote for that with our imagination, as Carolyn Casey would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As well as look squarely at what we're worried about.
Right.
Yeah, and see what parts of it are working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it is your Saturn, so it's got some energy. Because it wants to take you back to natal Saturn to say, hey, remember what we talked about back then? And you go, yeah. And he goes, okay, so same story, new chapter, new lesson. And you're like, oh, man. But he's like,
yep.
But you're so much better now. You're wiser now. I was. What was that song? I was so much younger then, I'm wiser than that now.
I'm yeah. older than that now. Yeah.
I'm older than that
I was so
yeah.
much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Younger
That's
than
feeling.
That now, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall we?
So we also
have
the eclipse. So let's just take
mm-hmm.
a couple seconds to talk
mm-hmm.
about the eclipse. That happens
Absolutely.
On, yep, that happens on Friday. And the beauty mm-hmm. of the eclipse, in addition to being an eclipse, which is very big and juicy because all these planets are down at the bottom. So we have Mercury out of bounds. We have Jupiter. We have the South Node. We have Ceres out of bounds. We have Saturn, Pluto. And opposite it, we have the Moon in Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And eclipses bring up stuff. And on the day of the eclipse, we also have Uranus stationing and Eris,
yes.
the goddess of discord, stationing. So, yes,
yeah.
people are going to be very discordant. And a lot of times when Uranus stations, we have earthquakes. So we've had a couple already. We have one in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
We've had a few of them around. So we can anticipate a good old earthquake, especially with all these planets in Capricorn down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to kind of watch for that, you know, energy of, and literally, if you think about what an earthquake is, you know, kind of watch for an earthquake in your life too, because there can be one, not necessarily the kind that shakes your ground. But this is an emotional eclipse. It's a lunar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to reveal
mm-hmm.
something that's going to bring up emotions for folks as part of the deal. And
mm-hmm.
And then with those stations, then what means everything's going full steam ahead, 90 miles an hour. So all the planets are direct now until we get to the spring. So you thought it was moving fast? It's going to get a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, riding with it. What do you guys think about the eclipse?
And then right after that, Mars does a semi-square to Saturn and Pluto. and kind of activates us next week. You know, it's expect the unexpected, I see, with Uranus and Mars also at an inconjunct, that we really need, as well, Uranus stations and turns direct. I'm expecting to see some electrical stuff going on. Be careful around electrical equipment. Listen to your car if it says, you know, I'm in trouble. And expect people to act out with the insecurities, as we talked about, the anxieties, the insecurities of that lunar eclipse. Just really break open what's feeling stuck in the family, what's feeling stuck around our relationship to the family, what's around our home or homeland. So I think it's going to be some, you know, deeply unsettling patterns. And even the normal things that we think of as problematic, hearing the Republican senators come out of their press conference, or their conference with Trump, very unsettled and aggressive and unhappy with Trump. Even his backers said, you know, that it's very unexpected what's happening right now, and to play it centered as much as we can, to guide wherever we can the people around us in good ways, to hold each other's hands and allow, because when the unexpected happens, it also always gives us an opportunity to jump forward, to create connection, to bond over odd situations. So look for those opportunities this weekend. Mark, what are you seeing?
Yeah, very, very much that. And, you know, watch for what is stable and try to work from a point of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the forces around us are trying to throw us off balance, because then we don't make good decisions and we don't trust what we see. So realize that that's going on and say, well, I can just quietly keep my balance and help others around me to keep a balance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as I do that, I'm creating space for, you know, it, a lot of times when this kind of stuff happens, it's really helpful to watch it, you know, just try to watch it unfold and kind of go, okay, rather than stepping into the drama, let me just look at it and see it. And then figure out, once I've observed it, I mean, obviously, if you have to make a decision, you have to make a decision. But once I've observed it, let me then make the decision when I get a little space. And again, a lot of breathing, or a lot of breathing energy, because there's not a lot of what's the right word for it? It's a little crazy out there right now. There's just not a lot of energy for the space of holding a stable place. And also, there's a lot of earth, so it's the desire to have, feeling like you have to do something, and the plant, there's not a lot of fixed energy. Everything's kind of action oriented, so sometimes, you know, you'll have this desire, I have to take action, and it's like, actually, no, you don't. It's okay, you know, calm down a little, just give it a day, give it a space, give it a moment where it allows you to
you mentioned watching.
Breathe. Yeah.
You mentioned watching, and I thought of reality TV. It seems a lot of what's going on around us is about as believable as reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
totally.
In a way,
anything else?
Watch it like we would reality TV. You don't have to quite believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It'll be over with, and the next chapter will be open.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I think we have time for one caller. So let's pop on. One that's been holding the longest. Hi, 901. How are you? 209, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi. I want to know about my romantic life for 2020.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your
birthday?
4/4/1961. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi there. And
hi.
What time were you born again?
5:51 a.m.
And where?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
We love the Memphis. great music. Very good beer. I remember. All right. Rome, and I was just using a mug I got in Memphis. I wanted to say there's a barbecue place down by the river, and when we were doing stuff in 1999, 98, I was installing a computer system, and there was this great bar by the river that had beer in boots, and I wanted one, but they wouldn't give me the glass, you know, because you had to buy the beer, and I was like, oh, man, I don't drink beer, right? But so my boss drank two glasses of beer, and he gave me his two boots. So I was using one earlier today and was thinking about him. He was a very nice Taurus. So romance for you this year looks like you're making decisions about it because you're having Saturn squaring your Venus. And Venus is the ruler of your seventh house. And she rules what's of value to you. And you have a very feisty Venus because she's an Aries. And she's pretty clear what she likes. But she also answers to that sensitive Mars in Cancer, which answers to your moon in Scorpio, so they need to be deep. So I'm looking and saying, you know, it looks kind of interesting for you around commitment, energy, around partnership, and what you're looking for around relationships, because the squares always ask us to kind of think back, and in this case, Saturn's going to be asking you to think back 22 years to what was going on then, and you have a Saturn-Venus aspect in your chart, right? Natally, your Venus and Saturn are square. So whenever he comes along, he goes, so what you doing about romance? What are you doing about your value? What are you doing about your worth? What do you what have you learned in your many years on Earth? Not that you're that old, but you're also having your progressed moon zipping in there, and in 6-7 months, he comes to Saturn. So it could be an old love returning, or it could be kind of working out where your chart maybe is a little anxiety about love, and you maybe move on or move before they actually get to show you who they are. That would be my first. And then also because solar arc Jupiter has now gone into Aries, your chart's in the mood to have a little more romance because you're now, you're like, yeah, I want to, you know, instead of being dreamy, drifty Pisces that it's been for the last 30 years, now you're kind of like, you know what, I think I'm a little ready. So I kind of like it. And you've got a lot of progressions into Taurus, which are all about adding a little excitement into your life. So that would be my take. Mm-hmm. You guys want to go, Mark, Heather?
Yeah, and I would say that Saturn gets off your Venus in February, towards the end of February. It comes back to talk to it again in the fall, but it's within a degree. It doesn't come right back to it. But it clears that completely by November. So, you know, you're being asked to do the work around relationship, to notice, you know, you love your independence, oh, feisty Aries, Aries rising that you are. And your work, because you're in the midst of your second Saturn return and the progressed moon in Capricorn is hitting your Saturn, that your work is taking up the biggest part of your focus this year. But when you change work, when you move into ways of making that work for you, and I know we've talked about that in other calls, I think brings you into new people. Now, you will always need to promise yourself that you will get some time alone, or you won't agree to relationship with that Aries Scorpio moon. So you kind of like, how do you meet new people, bring them in, let them in? Jupiter is coming to oppose your Mars in the house of home. You're ready for it, but you always need to promise yourself, no matter how close you get to someone and how great the romance, that you're going to have time on your own and do things at your own rate, or you will find an excuse to not do it.
Right. Mark?
Yeah, you need to always balance the push and pull of a relationship. So, you know, there are things you offer and there are things you want. And sometimes it's hard for you to balance those. So step back and ask yourself, is this person really the person I want to be with? And what can I contribute more? And what am I not going to get from this person? And you find that out by what you give. So see what the response is to what you give. And build the relationship accordingly, which might be short. You know, you might find out pretty quickly, okay, this was only going to be so much.
Ooh,
but it pulls it in.
Okay.
And also, you're going to have Mars in Aries. We're all going to have Mars in Aries from June 27th through January, the beginning of January. And it's going to go retrograde in your first house from September 9th through November 13th. And it stations on your ascendant, right? So this is a big year for you, especially the back end of it from June on, for like, okay, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I'm hunting for, I'm ready. And you've got a really nice grand trine in progressed Mars at 14, trining your ascendant. So it's definitely an interesting year for an exciting love affair, or maybe a few with that Mars in the first.
We're out
you're
of
in
time.
The mood. You're in the mood. So we love it when
we're
an Aries is in the mood. Yep, we're out of time.
And
so
we wish everybody
all a good
take
eclipse.
Care of yourself this weekend.
Yeah. We wish you all a good eclipse. And we sign off from the Bright Red Desk.
And Heather from Montana. And
Mark from New York.
We'll see you next
warm.
Week.
Catch
you
all you next
too.
Week.
And
okay.
Take
big
care
hug.
Of yourselves this weekend. Goodbye.
Okay.
Be
bye.
Careful. Bye-bye. Bye.